To turn to the book of John, chapter 4. This is a very eventful chapter. We see Jesus is on the move throughout the chapter, making transforming impact upon the lives of various individuals. Verse 3, he's seen leaving Judea for Galilee. On his way to Galilee, he goes through Samaria, arrives at a city in Samaria called Sychar, and we know there that he would save a certain Samaritan woman. He would give instruction to his apostles. Other Samaritans would believe in him. After 2 days, in verse 43, we see he departs Sychar, that area of Samaria, and continues to Galilee. Eventually, he arrives in Cana, and there he's met by a certain nobleman who had heard that Jesus was coming, and this nobleman pleads with Christ on behalf of his son who was dying. His son is in Capernaum, about 18 to 20 miles away, and Jesus displays his power by healing this nobleman's son without even going to Capernaum. So this fourth chapter is really a revelation and illustration of the transforming power of Jesus Christ. The bulk of the chapter through verse 42 is the record of what took place there in Samaria. In verses 6 through 26, we see Jesus and the woman at the well in a conversation. They're there at Jacob's well, and the Lord saves her soul. And it's one of the most instructive incidents in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, that conversation that took place between Christ and this Samaritan woman. However, in this message, we're not going to concern ourselves with that particular event, but we do want to develop the thought of the message from something that Jesus said to this woman. In John chapter 4, in verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He is in italics, which simply means it was added by the translators to help us to better understand. So it could be read, I that speak unto thee am. I that speak unto thee am. And that was said in response to what the woman said in verse 25. Verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And then Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am. I'm him. I'm him. It was at this point in their conversation that Jesus stood revealed to her. It was at this point that she has a clear perception of his person, of his magnificence. And the result is, verse 28, the woman then left her water pot, and we've preached on that many times, went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? So when Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am, it was then that she saw who he was. And that changed the emphasis of her life. That's why she left the water pot. It didn't matter anymore. So Jesus says, I that speak unto thee am. Again, first person singular, present tense, verb. It is a statement where three periods of existence come together in that one word, past, present, and future. With that word, he declares his greatness, his majesty. As we said this morning, he identifies himself with Jehovah of the Old Testament, the self-existent, the eternal one. I am. I that speak unto thee am. It's a very affirmative statement, an absolutely reliable statement. A statement that concerns everyone. And again, it's a singular message in a society and culture in an age of pluralism. And all through the Gospel of John, again, John emphasizes the deity of Jesus Christ, that he is God. And all through the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus say, I am. I am. And we need to carry those words into our everyday life. I am. So in our text, again in response to, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And then what she is declaring there with that statement, she is saying, I know what the Old Testament says of Christ. And Jesus says, I that speak unto thee am. I'm he. I'm the one that the Old Testament speaks of. All through the Old Testament, we see that there's this promise of this one who would come, one who would deliver his people. All through the Old Testament, we see metaphors and types of this one who would come. He's portrayed all through the tabernacle, this one who would come. And Jesus here is saying, I am he. I'm he. I'm the one that the Old Testament speaks of. The Old Testament speaks of the Lamb and speaks of the Passover Lamb and the manna and the rock and the high priest. And he says, I'm him. I'm he. Speaks of this one as the kinsman redeemer. And Jesus is saying to her, I'm he. Again, all through the Old Testament, Christ is presented. He's presented as a faithful priest. He's presented as the tower of salvation and the one greater than Solomon, the King of glory, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And on and on and on we could go. And Jesus is saying here, I'm he. I'm he. And we need to carry that with us throughout every single day. So we want to look tonight in through the book of John. We see this first place is here in John 4:26. I that speak unto thee am. We want to just go through the book of John and see the times that Jesus says, I am. And then we need to take those truths and apply them to our everyday life. Each one of these verses, we could preach a series of messages on this subject using each. We could preach a message on each verse, but we're just going to make a few comments and move on to the next. But John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. That, of course, is said in relation to the Old Testament manna. You read the chapter and you get the context. I am the bread of life. I am the bread from heaven. He would go on to say. You see, that manna in the Old Testament, it came down from heaven. And it was the free gift of God. It was a token, if you remember, when God gave the manna, Israel was murmuring and grumbling, complaining, and God gave them manna. It was God's grace that gave them manna. It was God's love that gave them manna. And God sent that manna right where they were. All they had to do was open their tent door, and there it was. So it was bread from heaven, a token of God's grace and love, came right to where the people were and met a daily need and did so for 40 years. And Jesus says, I am that bread. I am what that bread typifies. I am the true bread. He goes on to say, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. So what he's saying is, I am sufficient. I am sufficient for your daily need. Do we believe that? Do we truly believe that Jesus Christ is the bread from heaven sent right to us to meet our daily needs? And that He is sufficient to meet our daily need. We need to carry that truth with us throughout every single day. I am the bread of heaven. Notice also in John chapter 8, verse 12. John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, you saw in John 6 there was an application to the bread. He that, if you eat of that manna, you'll never hunger. And here it is, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So this, he says, I am the light of the world. But it's light that gives life, as he says at the end of the verse. He's presented as light in the book of John. Notice in John chapter 1 and verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness. The problem was the darkness comprehended it not. In verse 7, the same came for a witness, that's John the Baptist, to bear witness of the light, Jesus, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, that light, that is, John the Baptist was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And notice it's singular. That was the true light, Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He is the light. John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and hid himself from them. And then notice verse 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So going back to John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. The world, of course, is a place of darkness, a place of sin, a place of evil, a place of wickedness, a place of corruption, a place of guilt, a place of error, all symbolized by darkness. It's a place of ignorance, it's a place of sorrow, a place of misery, a place of danger, a place that is satanic, a place of death. Light, of course, is the very opposite of all of those things. We read in 1 John 1, verse 5, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. That is, there is no sin in him. There is no evil. There is no wickedness. There is no corruption in God. There is no ignorance in God. He is light. And Jesus Christ says, I am the light. He is declaring, I'm God. I am pure. I am holy. I am the light of the world. I am the light that the world needs. I am the light that you can walk in this world. I am the light of the world. Light has revealing power. Light reveals. Jesus Christ is the revelation of God. Therefore, he can say, I am the light. Light, wherever there is light, it has an effect upon darkness. And Jesus has an effect upon darkness. Light provides guidance. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Light provides safety. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Light, of course, can stimulate. It can motivate. And Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. He stimulates us. He motivates us. He lightens our path. We need to carry that with us through every single day. I am the light of the world. Because there's not a single day that you don't need bread, and there isn't a single day that you don't need light. And Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life, and I am the light of the world. John chapter 8. Verse 23. John 8 is a very interesting chapter. He's speaking unto those who profess to know him but don't. And he says in verse 23, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of the world. I am not of the world. Ye are from beneath. He's telling them that they were of the world. They were influenced by the world. They were earthly. They were sensual. They had corrupt passions. They were governed by world views. They were governed by the feelings of the world. But he makes a contrast. You're from beneath. I'm from above. I'm from above. Meaning I'm not of the same mind that you are. I'm of a heavenly and pure mind. And here we are. We live in a world that is controlled by the feelings of this world, influenced by the opinions of this world. And we need to realize that Jesus Christ is not of this world. He's from above. We need to follow him. You need to follow him. He says, ye are of the world. By contrast, he says, I am not of this world. That is, my views are separate from the world. My views are apart from the world. And if we follow him, our views will be separate and apart from this world. Jesus is above. You're from beneath, I am from above. You're of the world, I am not of the world. He's above the reasonings of man. We can't be swayed by the reasonings of man. And the way to avoid that is Jesus. He's above the reasonings of man. He's above the philosophies and the ideas and the ways of this world. Jesus is not secular. The world tries to make him secular, but Jesus is not secular. Jesus is above the secular. You and I are called to live above the secular. And we do that by following him. So what he's affirming here in John 8:23 is that he's of another nature. And if Jesus abides within us, then we too are of another nature. And we need to carry that with us through every single day. John 8, verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was I am. Was I am. He didn't say, I was before Abraham. He could have said that, but this says much more. Before Abraham was I am. Because it takes us back to the burning bush. I am that I am. But Jesus here is speaking of himself in relation to Abraham. He's affirming that he is the eternal one. Before Abraham was, I am. He's affirming what we read in John 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He's affirming that in John 8, verse 58. Before Abraham was, I am. He's affirming that he's unsearchable. That he's immeasurable. That he's incomprehensible. He's affirming perpetual duration. He's affirming, I am God from eternity to eternity. And then we see in verse 59, they took up stones to cast at him. These are people who are professing to be saved. Professing to know the Lord. We need to carry this thought with us every single day. That Jesus is perpetual. That Jesus is eternal. Then notice over in John chapter 10, verse 7 and verse 9, he's giving the parable, if you will, of the sheep gate. And in verse 7, Jesus said unto them again, verily I say unto you, I am the door. I am a singular door for a particular people. I am the door of the sheep. And then in verse 9, I am the door. If any man, who's the any man? The sheep. If any man enter in, how does he enter in? By the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture, or enjoy the blessings of salvation. Now a door, of course, just like a way, a door can let out, and Jesus says, I am the door. That is, He is the door out of the prison house of sin. He's the only door out of the prison house of sin. A door also lets in. He's the door into the presence of God. He's the door into the blessings of God. In other words, it's all through Him or by Him. And Jesus says, I am the door. You can't get in any other way. And you can't get out any other way. I am the door. And oh, how many times we have days and we're looking for a way out or a way in, whatever the case might be. We need to hear Jesus say, I'm the door. He's the door every single day, all day long. I am the door. John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, which I am, he says, giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd. And know my sheep, and am known of mine. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I am the good shepherd. And there again in verse 11, he speaks of the good shepherd in laying down his life for the sheep. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, he is referred to as the great shepherd in the context of resurrection. In 1 Peter 5, verse 4, he's referred to as the chief shepherd in context of his coming. So we hear Jesus say, I am the shepherd. I am the shepherd. And know this, that he has laid down his life for the sheep. And know this, that he has risen victorious from the grave. And know this, he is coming again. And it's all for the sheep. I am the good shepherd of the sheep. That means that he's the owner of the flock. We need to know that every single day. I am not my own. He is the owner. He is the caregiver of the flock. He cares about every sheep. He cares about every lamb. He's the shepherd. He's the caregiver. He's the provider of the flock. He's the leader of the flock. He's the defender of the flock. I am the good shepherd. What else do you need? I am the good shepherd. We need to carry that thought with us throughout the day. John chapter 10. Verse 36. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. I am the Son of God. They understood that to mean that he was declaring himself to be God. Notice John chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, which is the same as saying that I'm the Son of God, making himself equal with God. Jesus says, I am the Son of God. He's not just a good man. He is God. He is God in the flesh. I am the Son of God. And that is so every single day. Well, somebody will say, well, it doesn't really matter that much. They believe that Jesus, you know, was just a good man or a prophet. Oh, it matters a lot. Because you can't be saved outside of Jesus Christ. And you don't have access to the Father if He's not the Son of God. If he's not God, there's no hope. It is a blasphemous heresy for someone to deny the deity of Jesus Christ. I am the Son of God. We need to keep that in mind, who we're dealing with every single day, who we're associating with, the very Son of God. Be careful how you treat the Son of God. John chapter 11, verse 25. He's speaking to Martha. She's one of the sisters of Lazarus who has died. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the resurrection and the life. Not only did Jesus bring about resurrection during his earthly ministry, we have the record of three occasions when he did so. But this statement was made, I am the resurrection. That statement was made before he was resurrected. I am the resurrection. So what does that mean? Well, resurrection involves power. Resurrection involves omnipotence. And when he says, I am the resurrection, he's saying, all power resides in me. He's comforting Martha. Martha had said, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am that power. Resurrection is a transformation. And all transforming power is in Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. That is, He is the resurrection life. You and I that are saved, we've been resurrected spiritually. And Jesus Christ is the resurrection life. He is the emancipator from death. I am the resurrection. We need to always remember that He is the power. We need to carry that with us. John chapter 13. John 13. We get into the Passover night, which we saw this morning. He says in verse 13, Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. For so I am. I am Master. I am Lord. That's just another way of saying I'm God. He is saying I am sovereign. I am the ruler. I am the commander. I'm the guide. I'm the leader. I am Master. Let me say something. Whether you recognize Him as Master or not, He is Master. Whether you recognize Him as Lord or not, He is Lord. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. We need to remember every single day who our Master is, who our Lord is. It's not anyone else. It's not anything else. It's Jesus Christ. And then we come down to John 14, verse 6, the verse that we looked at this morning. I am the way. I'm the way. He's the connector. He's the connector to God for man. He's the link. He says, I'm the truth. I'm the way, the truth. He speaks nothing but truth. Believe what He says. Trust what He says. He's truth. He's the very embodiment of truth. He's truth personified. He's not only a teacher who came to reveal truth about God. He is Himself the truth. Because He is Himself God. Jesus Christ is a revelation of God, and therefore, the truth. Everything that Jesus reveals, everything the Holy Spirit reveals to us about Jesus, is truth. Is truth. He's the source. He's the means of truth. I am the truth. People say, well, how do we know what's true? Jesus said, I'm the truth. It can't be made any plainer. He's the standard of truth. If it's contrary to Christ, it's not true. Very simple. Well, they make a good point. They might be good liars. Jesus is the truth. Anything contrary is wrong. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what anybody else's opinion is. I am the truth. He also says, I am the life. He's the way, he's the truth, and the life. You follow that way, you'll find truth, and you'll find life. We need to carry this with us every single day. John 15, still that Passover evening. Verse 1, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. In verse 5, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, the vine, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. The vine possesses the life that we need. And without the vine, the branches are dead. They're nothing. We are absolutely dependent upon Jesus Christ for the life that we need. Every living being, every living thing is dependent upon God for its life. Man, in his ignorance, doesn't know that. But every single being is dependent upon God for the life that they have. This is also true spiritually. We are dependent upon Him, just as the branches are the vine. All that the vine possesses belongs to the branches and is at the disposal of the branches. The vine exists for the branches. The vine exists for the branches. That's a humbling thought. I am the vine, ye are the branches. I exist for you. How can we not give Him everything? When He says, I am the vine, you are the branches, that's like saying Jesus is for me. He's for me. We need to carry that with us every single day as well. Lastly, in John 18, I love this portion of Scripture. To get the context, we see in verse 3 that Judas has received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, come hither with lanterns and torches and weapons. All that for one man. Brings a whole army for one man. Because Judas had an idea of who he was dealing with. Verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Now, I personally do not believe they would have found Jesus that night had Jesus not gone forth and said, who are you looking for? They didn't even know who was speaking to them because they answered him, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. They're talking to him. Jesus said unto them, I am. I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? Who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I've told you, I am. They didn't even know it was him. I am. If therefore you seek me, let these, pointing to the 11, let these go. That's what the Lord did when he saved our souls. I am Christ, let these go. But what we see here, as soon as he said, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Jesus is the great overcoming power. These men were not in control. They didn't even know who they were talking to. And all he had to do was speak, and they fell to the ground. But why did they fall to the ground when he said, I am? I believe that he revealed the degree of his glory. He showed himself, just like with the woman at the well. And they went backward and fell to the ground. That shows the power and the grip of these two words spoken by Jesus, I am. There's great power in those words. When Jesus comes personally to you and says, I am, you too will fall to the ground. I am. And those two words ought to have, still, for you and I that are saved, they ought to have a powerful grip upon us. I am. Oh, that Jesus would come to us every single day, get our attention. These are attention-getting words, I am. Get our attention and speak, I am. That we would see him every single day as I am. Throughout everyday life, we need to hear these words. I am. We need to learn to view everything in the light of those words. I am. It may be a very dark time, but view it in the light of I am the light of the world. It's not so dark, is it? It's not so dark. Maybe a time of famine. View it in the light of I am the bread of life. Not such a famine, is it? He's everything we need. We need to live our lives manifesting that. I am is a statement that bridges all time. None of us know what we're going to face tonight. None of us know what we're going to face tomorrow. But whatever it might be, I pray that Jesus would reveal himself as the great I am. It bridges all individuals. It bridges all cultures and places and all happenings and all incidents. I am. That's all he has to say. And his enemies fall to the ground. I am. You say, well, that person there is they're hard-hearted. They're hard. So, weren't we all? Some more than others, I realize that. But all Jesus has to do is show up and say, I am. And sinners fall to the ground. This is the one that saved our souls. And we need to hear these words, I am. and conduct ourselves accordingly. Live believing He is the great I Am. That ought to bring rejoicing to our hearts. It ought to fill our hearts with hope at all times. There's nothing that changes who He is. Nothing. He's everything we need. I Am. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us to verse song.